I don't have any pictures like Carol did. But the parable today of the Pharisee and the tax collector is from Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far away, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. So ends the reading.
Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we invite your presence here today. We ask that you might provide a word that we need to hear. May the words of my lips and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts and minds be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we had the unjust judge and the persistent widow. This week we have the pious Pharisee and the sinful tax collector. Jesus is on a roll with these parables, these studies in contrast. Now, as we've discussed before, Pharisees have gotten a bad rap over the centuries as a result of one too many portrayals in the Gospels as Jesus' rivals. Their reputation, despite or maybe because they were Jesus' closest theological kin, it's what it is, they shared a depth of knowledge and respect for the Jewish law, but the Pharisees actually observed the law more closely than Jesus did. And in a religion that is based primarily upon practice rather than belief, this is no small thing. It's a point of pride. Devout, respectable, and learned, the Pharisees were the scholars and the judges of their day. Indeed, they were the good people of their day. Well, enter a tax collector. Now, I trust that none of us here is particularly fond of the IRS, but the IRS doesn't hold a candle to the tax collectors of Jesus' day. They were despised, and with good reason. They worked in collaboration with the Roman Empire, the occupying enemy force. No bureaucratic government employees here, but people who actually were given the leeway to exact payment in whatever manner they chose, and also to take as much as they wanted because their commission came out of whatever they collected. So they were generally known as thieves and basically extortionists. By definition, they were wealthy and dishonest. And as handlers of money and collaborators with a Gentile empire, by Jewish law, they were also ritually unclean. But they were fellow Jews. In fact, that's probably about all the tax collectors and the Pharisees had in common. And that's how a tax collector and a Pharisee happened to find themselves both praying in a temple one day in Jesus' parable. Now, the tax collector was fully aware of his shameful status, and so he stood alone, off in the shadows. He was too caught up in his prayers to notice his surroundings that day, but not so the Pharisee. In fact, so observant was the Pharisee that the tax collector even wound up in his prayer. God, he said, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. I. Pretty impressive, this multitasking Pharisee. Not only was he praying, boasting, and people watching in the synagogue, but he was competing with his neighbors and winning, hands down. Meanwhile, the tax collector was filled with shame for all that he had done and been in his life. He could not bring himself to look up to the heavens. No, his eyes were glued to the ground, and he beat his chest like a woman in mourning. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he cried out in anguish as he looked into his own sinful heart. And God, recognizing his contrition and humility as sincere, sent him home justified. End of story. Or not. Did you happen to fall into the trap that Jesus set for his listeners? By any chance, did you find yourself condemning the Pharisee for judging the tax collector and all those other sinners? Or for bragging and taking all the credit for his own piety and character? It's really hard not to, as pompous and presumptuous as he is, to not give God, or at least his parents or his mentors, some credit for his accomplishments, to not even know the tax collector and put him in the same category as thieves, rogues, and adulterers, to use his prayers as a platform for condemning other people. That takes some nerve. Oops. Basically, there's no way out of this parable without taking Jesus' bait. Finding ourselves playing the Pharisees' game, judging and striking a self-righteous pose against him. As much as we would like to believe we're the earnest tax collector in the story, it's nearly impossible not to be critical of the Pharisee. It's a pretty neat trick Jesus has pulled, but supposedly the parable works even better when it's updated with the Pharisees and the tax collectors of our day. One commentator recommended a pope and a pimp as apt substitutes. And you know, I thought about trying that, but ultimately I decided that too is a judgment trap. I'm still not peering within my own heart when I'm rummaging through a cast of characters in search of some other really bad sinners to play the leading roles, distancing myself from them and from God in the process. This quandary reminds me of a recent UCC Daily Devotional piece I stumbled across, written by Illinois pastor Lillian Daniel. It goes like this. I am tired of hearing people say stupid things in the name of Christianity. I am tired of nutty, pistol-packing pastors who want to burn the Quran. I am tired of televangelists who claim natural disasters are the will of God. I am tired of Christians who respond to the pain of disease with a lecture about behavior. I am tired of preachers who promise prosperity. I am also tired of people that say they are privately spiritual, but not religious. I am tired of people who have had one bad experience with a church and paint the whole of Christianity with that brush. I am tired of celebrities who criticize the church for being patriarchal and homophobic, but do nothing to support the churches that are not. I am tired of people who say they want a church like ours, but cannot be bothered to attend one. And I am tired of people who criticize churches like ours and go somewhere else. I feel like I live in a society where the stupid and simple and spirituality always trump the depths of a complex faith. We are a people of itchy ears who depart from sound doctrine in favor of easy answers. Perhaps I'm really just tired of myself. In criticizing others in their faith, I hardly live up to the best of my own faith. Perhaps the people who irritate me the most are exposing my own false doctrines. End of quote. The first time I read this reflection through, I found myself getting riled up. "Yeah, me too," I exclaimed in my head after each sentence. "I'm sick of that too. I'm tired of those kinds of people too." Only to run up against those last few sentences and have my own judgments turned around on me yet again. Oops. I guess I'm a self-righteous finger pointer too. And my brand of arrogance is as unbecoming and divisive as anyone's. One of my final seminary classes was a course on alcoholism and addiction. The professor wisely made sure we would not fall into the Pharisees' trap. The whole way through, we were forced to monitor our own reactions to the material, to look at our own family dynamics and histories, to insert ourselves into the case studies. But even all those safeguards didn't stop me from trying to distance myself. I discovered this when I had to attend an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting as part of a class assignment. As I drove to the meeting, I was nervous and self-conscious. What if I saw someone I knew there? What if they mistook me for an alcoholic? Well, in the end, the women at the meeting were so open and welcoming that I did feel like one of them. And the more they spoke of their own pain, struggles, and relationships, I saw kindred spirits in a very fine line. These were sensitive people like me who had crossed a line that my own circumstances just happened to steer me clear of. My sobriety, I learned, was less a badge of honor than a fluke. I returned home that day, humbled and grateful. And yet, no matter how profound that lesson was, it's a lesson I have to learn over and over and over again. The moment I see my brokenness clearly and experience humility, the process begins all over again. The humility itself becomes a point of pride and a measuring stick. Yet another trap. So where do we go from here? With such deep divisions between people today, nations, political parties, religious factions, we need answers now more than ever. Well, we can learn a thing or two from the tax collector and AA. Keeping the focus on God is key. If all our capabilities and accomplishments point back to the giver of life and grace, then there is no room for competition, for comparisons, unfavorable or otherwise. It's not about us. And yet, it is about us. Perhaps equally important is remaining open and cognizant of what it is we ultimately share with one another and all people. Our humanity, our brokenness, our desire for love and approval. A sense that in the grand scheme of things, we're okay. We can only do our own healing work with God's help. But while we're at it, we can replace competition and condemnation with compassion and see where that takes us. We just might discover that our passions, our hopes, and dreams have a whole lot more in common than we think. And just one more thing. Within the parable, we don't learn what happened to the tax collector after he went home justified. But we'd like to assume that out of gratitude for his healing, he was moved to action. And specifically on behalf of those whom he and his patron, Empire, had harmed. They are the invisible third character in this story, or fourth, if you count God. Many of them poor farmers who could ill afford the gouging, his price gouging, or the luxury of a journey of personal healing. We have them among us still, and our healing will ever be incomplete without theirs. For it's all about all of us and God. Amen.